Welcome to the Calm Nights, Strong Days podcast. With over 30 years in the health and wellness industry, I've realized there's no one-size-fits-all solution for sleep and stress resilience. What affects one person's sleep and ability to handle stress is different for each of us. The stage of life you're in, work and home stressors, and more all affect how your body handles stress and your quality of life. Join me as we explore a variety of tools, strategies, and solutions I've employed with clients over the years in solo episodes, as well as insightful interviews and experts. Together, we'll unravel more pieces of the puzzle, empowering you on your journey to calm nights and strong days. So let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to Calm Nights, Strong Days. I am Andy Clark, and I am your host of this podcast. Today, we are diving into a series. Now, this is the second last episode of the series. If you have missed the series where we are talking about sleep and stress and how IFS, internal family systems therapies, plays a role in sleep and stress, then you definitely do want to go back to episode 45, where we start the series, where a lot of the words, terminology, things that I'm talking about are not going to make sense to you. So definitely go back to there. They're quick 15, 20 minute episodes. And I will see you when you get to this one. So for those of you that have been following the series, today we're talking about sleep and how IFS affects sleep when parts are affecting your sleep. So as we talked about in the last episode, we talked about how certain parts, when they're kicking in, affect your stress system. And the same thing can happen with your sleep. So one of the things that we did talk about in the last episode was about blood sugars. So when you have anger kicking in, frustration, you're constantly on edge, or anxiety, or you're shutting down, and your body is constantly setting off, that's it, or engaging your stress system. Your body, when your stress system is engaged, it kicks out stress hormones and also glucose. And what happens over time of your stress system being kicked out for so frequently in your day, over time, is you get all these blood sugars that are sent out, but it's actually, there's not an actual physical need for those blood sugars, not a physical need for those hormones. So what happens is your glucose is supposed to actually give you enough energy for you to have 8 hours of solid sleep. But over time, if your glucose kicking out and then having to be cleaned up and kicking out and having to be cleaned up, your brain is like, what the heck? What do we do with this? It starts storing some around your belly where you can't lose it, no matter how healthy you eat, no matter how active you are, until you start dealing with the stressors that keep putting you in stress. And this glucose starts running out while you're sleeping. So my history of working with clients, we'll see that clients maybe can only get 6 hours before they wake up. And then it's like, or maybe they're always waking up at 2 or 3 in the morning. They might getting 4. With responders, there are many responders that I would work with where they were only getting 2 hours of sleep before their body would wake them up. It's like this signal goes off in your brain going, oh, glucose is low. This is a dire emergency. You need to wake up. And so we would have to work on stress levels, eliciting less glucose, but also teaching them how to start balancing their blood sugars more and giving them that sustainability for their night sleep so they could sleep. So that is one reason that they wake up. There's other physical reasons too. Your cortisol, as we said, when it's constantly being sent out over time, your body doesn't know when to send it out and when not. So typically cortisol is supposed to be at its highest when you wake up. You're supposed to wake up with a clear brain, energy, ready to go. And that is when your cortisol is at its highest. Nice, focused, clear brain. And when we are stressed all of the time, your body doesn't know to do that. And at night is when it's supposed to be at its lowest. It's supposed to start lowering, and then our natural melatonin kicks in and kicks in all of these hormones so that our body can heal and repair. The thing is that as that is happening, our over time, this cortisol at night has no idea that it needs to lower. So it could be sitting in the frontal lobe of your brain and you could have all of these revolving thoughts. You could be like just anything, thinking about like changing your tires, thinking about your grocery list, thinking about what your kids need to do the next day, or a project that you're working on at work, or something you said to somebody, and it, or it can get into actually reliving traumas or emotional things, or I don't know. The other day I was watching a curling game on TV and then I just kept dreaming about curling. In the middle of the night, I'm also organizing my kids' teams and bond spiels and all of these things. So curling is like a big part of my brain function, but like it was not shutting down the other day. So that is like a part when you have these ruminating thoughts, you don't feel that it's safe to sleep, then that cortisol cannot naturally lower. And your natural melatonin can't lower. And then all of these other hormones can't do their job. So it starts affecting these 50 different hormones that your stress system manages because they can't realign, heal, repair themselves while you're sleeping. It also affects your deep sleep, your REM sleep, and all of that. So that's one aspect on how it physically affects you. There's also this other aspect of when protectors are kicking in. I have some individuals that I have worked with, some colleagues that I know that do IFS, where for them, protectors were protecting them, where they felt like if they were sleeping, then they were missing out on things. They were going to make mistakes. They weren't going to get everything done, or they really needed their own personal time. So they couldn't go to sleep because that was the only time that they got, or they had to get so many things done in their day that it just wouldn't allow them to sleep, waking them up mid-sleep, feeling like just there's so many different protectors that can be kicking in and not allowing you to sleep, not allowing you to stay asleep. They are worrying constantly all of the time about missing a deadline, what needs to happen the next day, and you just cannot shut it off. So that is another way that protectors can definitely affect your sleep. And that's where we can dive in. So I, with that, what I, how I would know is if you've listened to prior episodes, you'll know that magnesium is really, really good at sending a signal to that frontal lobe of your brain to calm down the, to calm down the cortisol that's in the frontal lobe of your brain. So that's if there's a physical struggle going on there. And I'm go back to those episodes too, because it's magnesium biglycinate, not a citrate. Citrate loosens your bowels. So definitely, and there are certain dosages for men and women. Females is 200 to 400 milligrams, and males is 400 to 600 milligrams max per day. So magnesium is brilliant. And so if I start somebody on magnesium, if I'm suggesting to somebody, hey, you know, why don't you try this? And they come back and they're like, my brain still won't shut off, or I'm still waking up. And we've also worked on the blood sugar part. And there's still, I'm like, let's start diving into parts. Let's see if there's a part in you that is not allowing this cortisol to lower. Let's see if there's a part in you that's keeping you on guard at night that will not let your body slow down and rest and go into rest mode. This could be things too, where you, there's something that's happened in your past where somebody has had in you where it made you feel bad about quote unquote being lazy, or where you felt that you can't stop, or you're letting people down or doing things. Your body just may not be able to shut down. It could also be like with first responders as well, many of them where they have parts that feel like they always have to be on alert, even if they're in their home and it's a safe place, safe environment, and nothing's going on, their part in them doesn't recognize that they're in a safe spot and is constantly keeping them on high alert and not allowing them to sleep. So there's that parts aspect of it as well. So that's where I've found that missing piece. Because I was like, okay, we've got all of these amazing tools. We have other tools as well that we use with sleep people, the blood sugars, the magnesium, but there's other ones that we can be using as well. And when those aren't working, what I've been finding is once I start working then with clients on parts, we are able to start making more progress with the tools that we're implementing. So it's just fascinating how this one piece that I've discovered in the last few years, I've been studying and researching and learning and working on myself as well as with clients, has been a missing piece to that part where I know a client is working on the tools. I know they're working on these skills. I know they're trying to implement things. I know they're taking the supplements. I know they're, working on a bed routine that is really good for their sleep, and they're still not sleeping. This has been the tool that has been helping me with that aspect. So it's just been so phenomenal. I can't tell you. Now, I do want to note that it does take time. As I said earlier in another episode, working with protectors, it's not like we can go in, do a session, and your protector is okay. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes we can make huge progress in a session, but sometimes it takes time. Some of these things are deep traumas. Some of these have really, happened over time and really instilled themselves in that individual. There may be that protector has been protecting so fiercely that we need to really get to know them before they trust us to even have a conversation with us. The exiles, even getting down and then to an exile takes time. So it's really is building relationships. If we imagine an animal, and that animal had a rough time. We're a rescue from the shelter. It's going to take time for that animal to start trusting us and realizing that the home that it now lives in is safe. It's not the home it used to live in. That the food that it's getting is healthy, that the pets and the love and the playfulness are going to continue and are helpful and nourishing for them. So we have to think of that like our protectors as well, that it does take that time to nurture them, to give them the love to help them heal. And it takes time and effort on our part. It's not just a wham bam, one session, we're done kind of thing. We really do have to treat them like relationships and nurture and work on those relationships. All right. So that is episode 51, where we were navigating the sleep challenges with IFS. Any questions, definitely reach out to me. I am always here to help answer questions and help you as best as I can. I will leave my information in the show notes below. Wait, before you go, if you found this podcast valuable, please consider liking and subscribing. Your support helps others discover these insights too. And if you're ready to transform your sleep and stress management and would like to see if we are a good fit with one another, let's chat. The link to my calendar is in the show notes below. Let's connect and start your journey to calm nights and strong days now. Until next time, sleep peacefully and stay resilient.